Good. Y'all make note, I complimented her. That's my one for the week. I'm depositing that love bank, Joker. Depositing that love bank. All right, guys. On a more serious note, I can tell you this week has been probably one of the most powerful week I've experienced in a long time, and it's not anything I've done. I can tell you the active presence of the Lord has shown me some things this week for this class that has changed my life. And what he's shown me is that he wants to change yours too. And it starts right now. God has something for each and every one of you in here tonight. And we're going to do some things pretty unique tonight. We're going to do some things, and there's going to be some opportunities that could change you for eternity. But before we get started in this week's teaching, I want to go to the Lord in prayer because I know we're supposed to. So let's start with prayer. Father, God, I come to you. I'm thankful, God, that we get to come into your presence. And that's all you require us to do, Father God, is come. God, because your word says that you draw us to you. And God, when we take that step forward in faith, God, you fill that extra space in our life. And God, there's a room full of hearts in here that are in different conditions. God, I just pray that we forget what happened yesterday. We forget about the chaos at home. We forget about what we have to do at work. God, we lay down for a second the battle we had with a spouse, or we lay down financial troubles, or we lay down whatever may cause us, God, to be distracted from your word. And God, I just pray that you condition the heart over these next couple hours, God, that we can focus on your word, that we can receive your word, God, in order that we may apply your word. God, I pray that you anoint me. God, I pray that you hide me behind the cross. And God, I pray that I'm just a vessel to what you want to do. And God, that they cling to the words of you and not to Justin. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So last week we talked about spiritual alignment, okay? The definition of spiritual alignment, Chris, if you'll go ahead and put that up. Spiritual alignment is the process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ, learning to walk and live like Jesus. You could also read it as the process of becoming free from things that hinder us to be aligned with, to be misaligned with Christ, learning to walk like Jesus. There is an encounter statement that defines what this class is about. All right, and this is the statement. You can see it in your books and on the encounter stuff. This is the church statement for what this class is about. And it says this: the goal of encounter is to equip you to remove the things that hinder you from a deeper relationship with God so that you can walk in the true victory and freedom provided through the work of the cross. That's the same definition as spiritual alignment. The purpose for encounter is so that we may properly align with God. And I'm going to show you how that is. The process of becoming free from things. The goal of encounter is to equip you to remove the things that hinder you. That's the same thing. It says learning to walk and live like Jesus. It says things that hinder you from a deeper relationship with God so that you can walk in the true victory of freedom provided through the work of the cross. The work of the cross was only by one, Jesus Christ. The reason we're in here tonight, the reason y'all signed up, whether your wife got you to sign up or you signed up, thought this was some other kind of class, is because of spiritual alignment. We need to be aligned spiritually on a daily basis with the Father. And we're going to talk about how to do that today. And it's called walking in the Spirit. But let's look at what alignment does. Alignment with God will bring freedom from a habitual lifestyle of sin. Alignment with God brings unparalleled peace. Alignment with God produces a fruitful life. And alignment with God makes it easier to walk in the Spirit. we all will be aligned with something. Period. We're going to align our life with something. If you're not aligned with God, you're going to be aligned to something. And alignment with God says that it brings peace. No, it says it brings unparalleled peace. That means that there's nothing else in this world that can compare to the peace that comes from being in alignment with God. It says it produces a fruitful life, and it makes it easier to walk in the Spirit. We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit tonight. So when we're spiritually aligned with God, it produces a peace that surpasses all understanding so that we can produce fruit that's good. So I guess if we're not spiritually aligned with God, the only other thing that it could do is it could bring chaos and destruction where we produce bad fruit. I don't know about y'all, but I want my life to produce good fruit. I don't want to give my children bad fruit. I don't want to give the community bad fruit. I don't want to give my wife bad fruit. And I can't do that unless I'm aligned with God. Galatians 5 and 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by it. 5 and 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the Spirit of God. That's spiritual alignment. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So what does walking in the Spirit mean? Walking in the Spirit. Walking is an action. It doesn't say I'm going to walk. It doesn't say it walked. It says walking. Walking is a daily action. Number one, walking in the Spirit means I daily choose to follow God's word, not my ways. I daily choose to follow God's word, not my ways. The tendency is, I know I did it for a long time, said, yeah, I'm following God. I'm following God's word until God's word doesn't line up with what I want to do. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I do what God calls me to do. I read the Bible some. I know God. I follow his word until it goes against Justin's will. And then when it goes against Justin's will, there's no way that could be the voice of God. There's no way that could be the voice of God that's calling me to get rid of that relationship. There's no way that could be the voice of God that's calling me to fight for that relationship. There's no way that can be the voice of God calling me to forgive my enemy, calling me to love my neighbor when my neighbor isn't loving me. There's no way that can be God, because that's not what I want to do. Newsflash, most of the things of God's word goes against human nature. Because human nature is sin. We're a flesh. God's not. That's what makes this a lot harder to do than say, is to daily choose to follow God's word, not my ways. Because we studied last week about spiritual alignment and the flesh, and we all know what that guy does to us. He destroys us. When we're following the flesh, we're following our ways, not God's way. I've seen what flesh following will do. It destroyed 35 years of my life. Almost destroyed my family. Destroyed my finances. It destroyed multiple relationships. I've seen what it'll do. But I've also seen what 3 years of walking in the Spirit will do, and it trumps them 35 years all day long. Because the power of God trumps anything I've ever done in my past. So my past is no longer Justin. My future resides in Jesus as long as I daily choose to follow his words. Because if I go back to following my ways, I know where I'm headed. To chaos and bad fruit. I've experienced chaos. It ain't no fun. The only thing at the end of a road of chaos is death. And I can tell you, I got tired of living in a grave. And Jesus said, hey, you daily choose to follow my way, I can take you out of that grave. And he has. But I have to daily choose it, because if I don't, if I choose it Monday, and I choose it a little bit Tuesday, but then Wednesday gets a little tough and I want to do things just in the way it's Wednesday, I'll walk right back off into that grave I just come out of. Number two, walking in the Spirit means I allow him to guide my decisions and renew my mind. Say what? I allow him? I allow God to do something in my life. Did you know that you have the ability and the authority to allow God to do something in your life? It's this crazy little thing called free will. We have a choice right here. I allow. That means that I have a decision to make. But here's the thing about making decisions. Decisions come with consequences. They come with repercussions. And when I allow him to guide my decisions and renew my mind, what it does is it gives me the strength to daily choose to follow his word. You see how that works? So when I daily choose to follow God's word, then it inspires me to allow him to guide my decisions and renew my mind. And I can tell you, I know the evil that exists in my mind. I've played it out in my life. And I can either let the world renew my mind every day, or I can let the promise of God renew my mind every day in order that I may follow his word, not me. That's power. That's walking in the Spirit. When I give God permission, that's basically saying, oh, God, I'm going to give you permission to guide my decisions and renew my mind. I can't control what comes in here, but I can control what I do with it. And the more of this that I get in here, the more power that I have over the junk that doesn't belong there. But when I'm downloading junk in my life that doesn't line up with this, there's no way I can sort through the truth versus lies, because I don't know the word of God. And if I don't have that relationship with Jesus, I don't know how to daily choose to follow God's word, because I don't know it. I don't know how to walk in the Spirit, because I'm so consumed with what social media has to say, what the word, what the world has to say, what my neighbor has to say, what my coworker has to say, what my family has to say. And if what they're saying does not challenge you to follow God's word, it is wrong. And it doesn't belong in your life. But how can you depict that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus and you do not know this thing called his word? Number three, I deny the desires of my sinful flesh. Remember talking about this guy last week? How much trouble this cat will get us into? The desires of my sinful flesh. Here's the thing about the flesh. It'll fulfill you for just a little bit. Then, buddy, you'll go looking for more. And it'll never, ever, ever, ever fulfill that emptiness inside of you. Do you know what everybody in this room is looking for? Every one of us is looking for one thing. And it took me a long time to figure this out. It's peace. It's not more money. We want more money to try to find peace. It's not power. We want more power to try to find peace. It's not a better relationship, because we want that relationship because we hope it brings us peace. That's what our flesh tells us. That's what our flesh tells us that we desire, when all we desire is peace. Well, how do I get peace? I walk in the Spirit by daily choosing to follow God's word, allowing him to guide my decision and renew my mind so I can desire my sinful flesh, because without those first two, your flesh will control you. I know it did me. So the first two have to happen, so in order that we can do number three. Number four, I will find it easier to obey God. So wait a minute. When I deny me and I surrender myself, I find it easier to obey God? So let's look at this. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to choose to follow God's word, even when, especially when it contradicts my ways. And in this process, I'm going to allow him to guide my decisions and renew my mind so I can deny the desires of my sinful flesh. And if I do all of these, I will find it easier to obey the one I'm seeking. It's an instruction manual of how to walk in the Spirit, of what it means. It's an instruction manual for peace. It's an instruction manual for a promise. It's an instruction manual for power. It's an instruction manual for hope. That's what this is. And then look at number five. I get, this is a privilege, I get to experience the benefits of the abundant life Jesus died to give me, the power of the cross. So let me get this straight. Walking in the Spirit means when I daily choose God and allow Him to guide me and renew me, I can overcome my sinful flesh and it will get easier to obey God. And when I obey God, I get to experience the benefits of an abundant life. I don't know about y'all, but I let number three control me before. I let number one control me. I let my ways be me. I flipped number two and I allowed Justin to guide my decisions and to destroy my mind. And then number three, I was not able to deny my desires of my sinful flesh, and it was almost impossible to obey God, and I didn't get to experience the benefits of abundant life. And about destroyed me and my family and people around me. But when I figured out if I choose to follow God's word and I give Him permission to guide my decisions and renew my mind, and I deny the desires of just and sinful flesh, I get the experience, the benefits of the abundant life Jesus died to give me. Encounter that right there ought to get you excited. Those are three, four steps in order to get to experience the benefit. Who in here, who's here tonight because they want to experience the benefit of Jesus Christ and an abundant life? Show of hands. If you want more of Jesus, if you want that abundant life, make sure you put a star by 1, 2, and 3, 4 so you get to do 4 and 5. That's what we're in here tonight. That is the petitioning and the calling of the Holy Spirit on your lives. Look at this key scripture right here. Romans 6:11-16. I'm gonna go through it pretty quick. It says, even so. Now I want to stop right there where it says even so for anybody that's confused by what that means. What even so means is you have to go previous in the beginning of Romans. And what it's talking about is when Jesus died to break our sins, to buy us back from death. And now He lives to glorify God. So basically, you read it like this. Because Jesus died to break our sin and to buy us back from death, but now lives to glorify God, consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relation to it broken, but alive to God. I don't know about you, but sin destroyed most of my life. But the beautiful thing on the other side is God redeemed it and made it back new because he saved me from the grips of hell. He delivered me from sin. And because Jesus delivered me from sin, I'm supposed to be like Jesus because I'm a Christian. The word Christian means like Christ. That's the reason they called the disciples Christians, because they were acting like Jesus. They were acting like the Christ. And if Jesus lived to glorify God, so let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal bodies to make you yield to its craving and be subject to its lust and evil passions. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members to sin as instrument of wickedness, but offer and yield yourself to God as though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. For sin shall no longer exert dominion over you. That is God saying, because what my son did, sin does not exert dominion over you. That means it doesn't have any rule over you. It doesn't have any authority over you. So why are you walking in it? Why are Christians walking in death day in and day out when God said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly? Well, how, God? We just went over them. Choose my ways. Let me renew your mind and guide you so you can deny the desires of your sinful flesh. And it goes on to say, it says, for sin shall not exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law, Shall we sin because we live now under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him who you obey? Whether that be sin which leads to death or obedience which leads to righteousness. In the verse 18 it says, and having been set free from sin, you have become the servant of righteousness. You're going to serve one of two things. There is no in between. You're either going to serve righteousness in Christ or you're going to serve the enemy in sin. We get to make that decision. And so many of us, I think, believe, well, what's God going to do for me? It ain't what God's going to do for you. It's what he's already done. God's already climbed up on the cross and paid the debt that you could not pay. He has already defeated the grave so you don't have to, because you did not have the ability to overcome death. Only one did. And God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him no longer has to be a slave to the sin and a slave to the grave, but can live a righteous, empowered life through Jesus Christ, and that's called walking in the Spirit. That's what we're in here for. That's why I'm in here, because if I don't walk in the right spirit every day, I'll walk in the wrong spirit, and I'll be gone over here in left field and won't have a clue what direction I'm going in, because I got my eyes on me and took them off of he. Walking in the Spirit. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, is to toss the reins to God and say, here, let me do it your way. Because my way is bringing nothing but chaos and death to my life. Is tossing the reins to Jesus and saying, here, let's try it your way. Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you give us an instruction manual step by step how to do all of this. And God, how to walk in the Spirit. That means walk hand in hand with you. God, I just pray for the remaining part of this class, God, that your word be delivered, Father, and that your word penetrate the heart and convict the hearts and mind of your children so we may know you more. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Y'all give Justin he did a great job going over what is walking over the Spirit. I want y'all to remind y'all, you have a choice, just like we have a choice to get up from bed. You have a choice to go work. You have a choice to go to church. You have to start by that choice, and it will take you wherever God wants you to take you. We have a 10-minute break.
Are y'all ready to move into part two of How to Walk in the Spirit? Y'all ready? Yeah? Well, our next speaker happens to be one of my best friends. She's pretty smart, y'all. And you got to hear her teach last week, and she killed it. I have no doubt that she's not going to do the same thing tonight. Miss Sonia Bonner.
Thank you, thank you. I'll pay her later for that sweet little plug there. So, how many golf players do I have in the room? Who plays golf? Good. Let me clarify. How many good golf players do I have in the room? Everybody went away. G's a good golf player. Okay. So I know nothing about golf other than the ball needs to go in the hole. And that's all I got on golf. And so if I want G to teach me how to play golf, I'd really like to know about the fundamentals of golf. I want to know the principles of golf, but I feel like a great coach will actually show you how to play golf and let me play it with him, not just talk about it, right? That's the big difference. There's a whole lot of people that can talk about golf, but then to actually show you how to play golf, they stink, right? One thing I love about our church is not only do they talk about the principles of God, and they'll teach you scripture, and they'll teach you the backstory and the history of the Bible, but then they continue on and they teach you how to walk it out. Right now, what I get the opportunity and the privilege to do is teach you how to walk out this thing that we're talking about, walking in the Spirit. So are you ready to learn how to walk in the Spirit, to apply it to your life every day? Good, because we're going in right now. So number one, it's in your notes. You walk in the Spirit by, number one, considering yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. Obviously, I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about death to your old nature, your old motives, your old habits. You must consider yourself dead to sin. It says, no longer allow sinful reactions, behaviors, and attitudes to be an option in your life. So before I came to know Jesus, when I was 30, came to know Jesus at 31, I acted a certain way that definitely did not line up with Scripture. Everybody remember those days? Some of us still walking in those days occasionally. One good test to know, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh, is you ask yourself, did this behavior line up with Scripture? A good Scripture is Galatians 5:22. Did it line up with the fruit of the Spirit? So when that guy pulled out in front of me and cut me off, talking to all my road ragers out there, did my reaction line up with the fruit of the Spirit? Was I walking in love, patience, goodness, gentleness? Did my attitude, when somebody was talking bad about me, did my attitude line up with the fruit of the Spirit? Was I still able to walk in kindness and gentleness? Sometimes I have to ask myself that question to see, am I really walking this out? We have to allow our reactions, behaviors, and attitudes to line up with that. How do we walk this out every single day? I'm glad you asked. We taught on it last week. It's called walking in the Spirit. Justin just went over it again. That's how we allow our actions, behaviors, and attitude to line up with the things of God. Romans 6, 11, the first part, which Justin talked about that, says, even so, consider yourself dead to sin and your relation to it broken. See, the cool thing about Scripture, especially this Scripture, is it says that you are no longer a slave to sin. Does it say that you won't be tempted? No, we're going to continue to be tempted until we're dead. But it says, I'm no longer a slave. That means it no longer runs my life. It no longer rules my life. It doesn't have control over me. I'm still going to be tempted. But God said, Sonia, I gave you the opportunity to walk this out in alignment with me. I gave you the self-discipline to say, no, we're not going to operate like that anymore. It's no longer a slave over you anymore. Number two, to walk in the Spirit, we live an unbroken relationship with God. The second part of Romans 6:11 says, even so, consider yourself dead to sin and your relation to it broken, but alive to God, living an unbroken relationship with Him. That means I'm doing this every day. That means I'm doing this consistently. So many times when I first came to know God, I saw all these people that were so strong in their walk with God. And man, they walked it out. They didn't just quote the Scripture, but they walked it out. They lived it every day. And I thought, how did they get so super spiritual? I mean, is that just for certain people? No. It's not. That's the cool thing. It's for you, it's for me, but it's my choice. I have to do it daily, though. I can't just show up on Sunday and only spend time with God on Sunday and think that I'm going to walk in the Spirit and walk in alignment. We have to do this every single day of our lives. Are we going to hit it perfectly? Nope. God's not asking for perfection. Thank you, Jesus. I'm good then. He's not asking perfection, but He is asking for submission every single day. Number three, to walk in the Spirit, we must surrender ourselves to God. We must surrender ourselves to God. It says, willingly make all parts of your life available to His work. Whose work? Who's His? God. I willingly make every part of me available to God. So what this looks like in your personal life, it means I make my kids' sports. When I'm at the sporting events, I make that available to God for His work. What does that look like? That means when, do I have any T-ball parents in here? T-ball, you're crazy. T-ball parents are crazy. And I've been there too. T-ball parents will lose their religion. I mean, we've all been there. Or little dribblers, it's all the same thing. Or soccer, it's all the same thing. But what it looks like to make all parts available for his work is at the T-ball game, when everybody else is losing their ever-loving mind, you continue to walk in the Spirit and say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to cuss the umpire out today. Amen. I can be a living example and look like Jesus at the T-ball game when everybody else is losing their religion, thinking their five-year-old is going to make it to the pros. Whatever. Willingly make all parts of my life available to his work. That also means my hobbies, my fishing, my hunting, my golf, that obviously we know I don't play golf. All of my hobbies, I make it available for Jesus. I say, Lord, what do you want to do through this hobby? Because I can still glorify you in this hobby. It also means my career. One of the cool things is right where you are is a mission field. Whether you're a mechanic, whether you're sacking groceries, whether you're fixing hair, and I know y'all have a lot of opportunities to speak into people's lives when you've got our hair tied up for about an hour and a half, but God says you have the opportunity to speak life into people in your job. It's up to us to do it. It continues on. It says, also, your past, your present, your future, all the pain, regrets, and fear, we want to willingly make all part of those things as well available to God. How on earth can we make our pain, our fear, our tragedy? Listen, when I was preparing for this teaching and I was studying, I felt like the Lord said, Sonia, I want you to emphasize, yes, you can use your tragedy for God's will and for God's glory. And he showed me some of you in here have walked in such tragedy, absolute heartbreak. And I am so sorry that you did. Some of the tragedy that we walked through was not our fault. Some of it is a decision that we made, but some of it, it's not your fault. But God said, I can still use that for my glory. But it's up to you. There's a man named Sam Childers. Has anybody ever heard of Sam Childers? Also known as the machine gun preacher. Ever heard of the machine gun preacher? I mean, he was bad to the bone. This guy was like so stinking cool. But before he came to know Jesus, he was a thug. He was a drug dealer. He was a gunman for his drug dealers before he got into big slinging. He was a horrible, bad, bad, bad guy. And he had an encounter with God, and it changed everything. Sometimes we think encounters with God are this big, magical. No, no, no. He met God, and then God said, I want you to go on a mission trip to Africa. He went to East Africa, to Sudan, and he just went to build homes. He went to build huts is what he went to do. And there, God changed everything for him. He came across a body that was torn into pieces. And when he started asking questions, what is going on? He found out that there was a militia in East Africa. And they were brutal. They were horrific. They did horrible things. They killed hundreds and thousands of people. They kidnapped 30,000 little kids. And they did the most horrible things to these little kids. They were burning them alive. They were raping these little kids. They were mutilating these little kids. And it absolutely wrecked his life. So God called him to make an impact in Sudan. And so what he did is he sold everything he had, and he came back there and he started an orphanage. And he rescued thousands and thousands of children from brutality, from death, from disease. And this is what he said. He said, it took a rough man to come into a rough place and make an impact for Jesus. And when I was preparing for this message, God brought him to my mind, and he said, I don't care what your tragedy is. I don't care what happened to you. Will you let me turn it around for good? Because I will if you let me. Genesis 50:20 says, what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good, but it's your choice. He gives us the opportunity, but we must willingly surrender all parts, the good and the bad, to Jesus. And I tell you what, lives will be changed when we surrender. We also must give up control. Another way to say it is cease resistance. Stop fighting. Sometimes we fight against the things that God wants us to do, but if we want to walk in the Spirit and walk in freedom that is available, we must stop resisting. Romans 6:19, it says, I'm speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations. For as you yielded your bodily members as servants to impurity and ever increasingly lawlessness, so now yield your bodily members once for all as servants to righteousness, right being and doing, which leads to sanctification or being set apart and purification. Romans 6:21, but then what benefit return did you get from the things which you are now ashamed of? None. For in the end, those things was death. I read that scripture and I think back to the things that I did before I came to know Jesus. I did a lot of things that I thought was fun. But you know, there was a cost. Sin is fun for a moment. Sin is fun. I ain't gonna lie. Sin is fun, but it's for a moment. It's fleeting. And there's always consequences to sin. And it says the consequences to sin is death. It may not be a physical death, like Justin said. Sometimes it is, and that's unfortunate. But it's always a spiritual death. There's things that died in my life when I was doing things contradictory to the things of God. But the opposite is true. When I surrender my life to God, there's freedom, there's victory, there's power, there's strength. Amen. But we've got to give up control. If you continue on in verse 22, which is not on the screen, but continue on, it says, but now being freed from sin, have become willing slaves to God, you reap the benefits of holiness, which lead to eternal life. Praise God. Number four, to walk in the Spirit, we must know our weaknesses. We must know our weaknesses. Why do we need to know our weaknesses? I know enough bad things about myself because I repeat it enough. Amen. We know the cellulite, the dimple, every dimple I got, I know. Amen. But there's truth in knowing our weaknesses because the enemy knows your weaknesses. See, the enemy is scheming against you. The enemy knows what your weakness is, and he knows what my weakness is. Your weakness may be insecurity. Your weakness may be fear. Your weakness may be watching porn. Everybody's weaknesses are different, but the enemy is watching your weakness because then that's where he's going to hit you. If your weakness is insecurity, guess what lies he's going to start whispering in your ear? You're not worthy. You're not valuable. You can't be used. Whatever your weakness is, that's where the enemy is going to hit you. So I must recognize what my weakness is. Why? Not so I can harp on it, so I can focus on it, but so I can surrender it to the Holy Spirit. And say, strengthen me in this. I give this to you. I'm going to recognize, here's my weakness. So if my weakness is insecure and I start hearing the lies of the enemy whisper that, I immediately know, that's not the truth of God. That does not line up with Scripture. I surrender it to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can strengthen me. When I do that, he's going to provide discernment. He's going to allow me to walk in a greater strength that I can't do on my own. So figure out what your weakness is, not to harp on it, not to focus on it, but to surrender it to the Holy Spirit so he can allow you to discern and avoid the temptations. Ephesians 6, such a great scripture. It talks about the armor of God, which Justin's going to preach the paint off of the wall in a few weeks on that. But Ephesians 6 says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual forces of darkness. Listen, your battle is not against your spouse. I know you think sometimes he's a devil, but anyways, he's not. Your battle is not against your boss. The battle is not against your kids. The battle is against the spiritual forces of darkness, and we need to learn how to battle that. Justin's going to kill it when he breaks down the armor of God for you, but you got to recognize where the battle really is. Number five, to walk in the Spirit, we must make a choice. Make a choice. We have the choice whether or not to accept the Holy Spirit's guidance. See, the Holy Spirit will guide. The Holy Spirit will direct. The Holy Spirit will prompt us to do things. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever force you to do any of it. The choice is yours. When we know the will of God but don't follow it, we're resisting the Spirit's work in our life. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit." Another translation says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live." Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You are his. We must choose to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians 5:25, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, and conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must choose to walk by the Spirit. So my question is, what's it worth to you? What is it worth to you to really walk this out, to really apply the things that we've been sharing with you from week one, week two, week three? What is it worth to you? Because what I have found, if I don't find value in something, I'm not buying in. I'm not buying in. If you don't find value in any of this, you're never going to change. You'll never walk in the freedom that Christ died for you to have. So is it worth peace? Is it worth joy? Is it worth love overflowing out of you? Is it worth that? I'm not saying void of problems. I'm not saying void of problems. You're still going to walk in problems. You're still going to have tough days. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, I can walk through hell and still walk in peace. Amen. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind that you can walk in the darkest days but still operate in a strength that you don't even know where it came from. His name is Jesus. But what is it worth to you personally? We're going to shift gears right now. We're going to move into an exercise that is just absolutely powerful. What we're going to do, you're going to stay still right now, but what we're going to do is we're going to separate with a partner in just a moment. You're going to separate with a partner, not your spouse, not a family member. You can stay at the table. You can go into the cafe. You can go out in the hallway. This is what I want you to think about just for a moment. I want you to close your eyes, and this is what the Lord is asking. What am I speaking to you tonight? What is God speaking to you tonight? Through this teaching, there is something specific that God is putting on your heart and is speaking to you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to dismiss. You're going to separate with your partner and you're going to share with your partner what God is speaking to you tonight. We're not sharing our entire history. We're not talking about everything we're going on. We are specifically talking about what God is speaking to you personally tonight. We'll take about 15 minutes. And then we'll come back in here. But when you're finished sharing with each other, if you feel comfortable, just pray for each other. Just a brief, brief prayer, but just pray for each other and then come back in here. I'm going to pray before we dismiss, but I'm going to ask that you be reverent and be respectful during this time. Allow the Lord to do a work. This response time is so powerful if you really allow God to do what He designed to do. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for tonight. God, I thank You that You are speaking to us. God, we may not hear an audible voice, but God, there is something stirring inside of us that You're speaking to us tonight through this teaching. God, I pray over every student, every team member here tonight. God, I thank You that You're going to hear their heart as they share. God, bless them during this response time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can stay in here, go in the cafe, or outside, but just get with a partner, not a family member, not a spouse, and you're going to share what is God speaking to you tonight.
Tell them what happened to my finger. It's a cooking incident. I mistake my thumb for a sweet potato. But if you don't think there's some biblical truth behind that, as small as a thumb is, when I injured it and began to go to work, and I realized that how much I use something so small, and realized how intricate it is to the purpose of the overall body, God showed me that each one of us, no matter how small we think we are, we're intricate to the body of Christ. All right, so, you know, I love the fact that man's timing doesn't interrupt God's timing. And so we've talked about, for the past 3 weeks, you know, we've talked about how to encounter God. We've talked about spiritual alignment. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. And all of those are very powerful, life-changing things. And that's why we're in this class. But none of it means anything if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know who the I am, and you don't know who the God is that we're talking about, and if you never experienced the supernatural move of salvation through Jesus Christ and being saved for eternity from the grave, this is just literature. But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this literature turns into eternal work. It turns into eternal life-changing things, not just for you, because you got to realize what you do is going to roll down into your children's and their children's children, and that's biblical. And so we want to do something that we usually don't do, but I know God's calling us to do this. We want to do two things tonight before we get out of here, okay? The first thing we want to do is I'm fixing to show you just how easy salvation is, because salvation, it's not a process. Salvation is an instantaneous redemption of your life from the grave by Jesus Christ. And the only thing we have to do is receive it. God does the saving. We cannot save ourselves. Nobody can save us from the grips of death and the grave other than the one that gave Himself to the cross. They didn't put Jesus on the cross. He chose it for us so that we might be saved, so we didn't have to bear that cross because we weren't capable and able to do it. Only one can save us. And I want to show you in Romans where it's so simple. I believe in the Word of God more than anything in my life. And I'm going to show you how simple, yet how powerful salvation is. Romans 10, in the 7th, 8th verse, I'm just going to go through. It says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and it is in your heart. The message of salvation, guys, if you've never received it, is at hand tonight. It is in your heart, because that tug that you have in your life right now, that tug that you have in your heart, that is the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, come home, son or daughter. That's not you. That's not your conscience. That is the Holy Spirit petitioning you to come home because you belong to the Father. He says he knew you before you was ever even in the womb, and he has a purpose and a plan for you, and it starts tonight with accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. Listen, guys, and this is how easy it is. The ninth verse, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. This is for Jew and Gentile alike. It says in verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't say white, black, woman, male. It says everyone. Because we're all created equal in the eyes of Jesus. This Jesus we preach and talk about is for everyone. Everyone. So if anyone in here tonight has never experienced the love of the Father, I want to give you an opportunity to receive salvation and secure your place in heaven for eternity. And the second part I want to do is I know in my spirit that there are some people in here tonight that need to rededicate their life to the cause. God saved you. He has petitioned you and he has called you. But somewhere along the path of life, you've got your eyes off of the purpose. You've got your eyes off of the prize, Jesus. And he's calling you back to a relationship, an empowered relationship with him, so that he can continue the work that he started in you. Because the Bible says, I started something in you and I am going to see it finished. Tonight is the night to rededicate yourself to that. Because I'm going to tell you, there's no amount of money, there's no relationship, there's no vehicle, there's no job, there's no anything in this world that'll ever take the place of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. And when you receive that, the Bible says, it says, nor depth nor height can separate you from the love of Christ. What that means is when you receive Jesus, there is nothing in this world that can take you away from your Father. And all you got to do is receive it.